Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for staying with me. Please check out my website when you get a chance, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Having a great visit with our good friend Ed Yordan, and he's a computer expert extraordinaire. He's almost peerless on the planet in this area. He works with companies all over the globe, helping them solve some pretty sophisticated stuff, and that's why we're very, very grateful for the time that he gives us. Ed, thanks again for hanging out with us. Yordan.com, right? Yordon.com?
Yeah, that's my website.
Best way to find you. We're talking in the previous segment about the computer glitches that you have seen and that we, some of us know about, that have been creating problems in the financial sector. We talked a little bit about the potential for exposure in the electric grid, in the power grid, I should say. And but there's, we're putting so much more and more every day, we're putting our lives online into ones and zeros, the code, Ed. And I, as you know, I've been asking the question, why should we do everything from a technology standpoint just because we can? Is there some, at some point in time when we say, yes, we can do this, but maybe we shouldn't do this? Or if we do it with technology, maybe we should have an alternate, a plan B analog. An analog plan B. What do you think?
Well, I very much agree with you. And indeed, that was one of the recommendations from this New York Times op-ed thing I mentioned in the last session, the idea of a human fallback, so that if the kind of decisions being made by a computer just don't seem quite right, you invoke human intelligence to say, are we really sure we want to go ahead with this? I think that's got to be incorporated much more. You know, there's a variation on what you said before also. Just because we can do something in the field of computer technology doesn't necessarily mean we can do it very well. There are a lot of mediocre computer systems being built just because somebody asked for it or paid for it, but they end up not working very well and they ultimately fall apart.
Right.
You know, and that kind of question has been raised by serious computer people for well over 50 years, that maybe we really ought to restrict ourselves to the things that are small enough and simple enough that we really can build well.
Let's look at I don't know if you're a golfer, but the golf has a challenge right now. The golf equipment, the clubs and the golf balls are getting so strong, so explosive, that they're making golf courses obsolete. So we're not going to, they're going back and they're lengthening the golf courses. They're moving the tees back, but eventually you run out of room, right? So they're literally talking about changing the dynamic of the ball, changing the power of the energy of the ball, so that they conform to what's more reasonable in the golf courses that we have. So is that a lesson that technology should be taking?
Maybe so. You know, and what you say about golf is probably true of baseball and tennis and
exactly.
A lot of other sports
exactly.
as well.
Yeah.
Very interesting point.
Yeah.
Maybe we should apply that to technology in general. I very much agree
but
with
how
you.
But how does a guy like me say that without sounding like a Luddite, Ed? I mean, because some people... Well, as you know, Ed, I've been working on some things comparing humans and humanity. In other words, just because it's good for humans, the technology, doesn't mean that it's good for humanity. How do we make that argument without sounding like a Luddite?
Well, people only seem to listen when they are confronted with some pretty severe disasters like this $400 billion crash that we started off talking about.
The night capital thing, yeah.
Aside from that, it's really, really hard to get people to listen, especially when the technology is so seductive, when people get lured into thinking how much easier and more comfortable things are going to be, and when they're lured into it, particularly by the technology sales pitches. You've got a difficult job ahead of you, I'm afraid, unless you want to be the the master of doom and gloom, as I tried briefly to do 10 years ago with Y2K.
I remember that. That's when we met.
Right.
That's when we first met.
And it didn't work out so well.
Yeah. But, the thing is that technology, there's so much that technology gives us a capability to do, but whenever it allows humans to do things that's not good for humanity, that's where the problem is. And for example, one of the things that I've been saying, that I've been recommending, that I'm going to start recommending more, is every new technology or every technology we have, let's apply a balance sheet approach to it. Let's identify all the things that it can do for us that are good, and then let's be honest about the things that could create a problem, where it could create a problem. Now, that's not to say that we add them up and say, okay, there's more bad things than good things, let's don't do it. It just means that we're aware of the potential negative. That's what the balance sheet does. What do you think?
Well, the technical version of that you hear all the time in the computer field is risk management. Try to identify in advance what could go wrong, just how serious would it be if it did go wrong, and how likely is it?
Yeah.
We could all be hit on the head by a meteor tomorrow, and, the entire planet could disappear, but the chances are pretty small. So you've got to balance the probability of something awful happening and the consequences, mm-hmm. and then at least keep that in front of you as you forge
ahead.
Well,
then we need to have a risk management component for humanity, I think.
I think that would be a great idea.
Not just for the company, but for the larger thing, the planet, perhaps. We're going to take a quick break. Ed's website is Yourdon, YOURDON.com. I encourage you to go there and check it out. He's a very smart guy. And we're going to talk about why small business has an advantage when it comes to technology. After these messages, stay with me. And some good old
boys already tried. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.